I have a little bit of an interest in how people sign their letters, notes. Kind of caught my attention years ago. One of our former youth pastors, Ben Henriquez, I liked his. It was just one life to give. Like that. He would just sign the card, note, something, one life to give. That stuck with me. One of my buddies from seminaries on staff at Emmanuel Bible Church signed his, keep the sun in your eyes, S-O-N. I thought that was, I like that, keep the sun in your eyes. So about 30-some years ago, I think I started just writing blessings, just blessings. I think it was tied to the fact that Steve King, my friend, mentor, pastor of Terrydale Baptist Church, the church that Christ Community was planted from about 22 years ago this month, that kind of time frame. But Steve had us read a book entitled The Blessing by Gary Smalley and John Trent back in the day, probably 30-some years ago. And I began to think for the first time, really, that I remember that in God's economy, the importance of blessing. Because in the Old Testament, over and over again, there's the blessing. And what Smalley and Trent bring out is there's some pretty significant aspects to the blessing and God's economy, and three of them that I wanted us to think about in a roundabout sort of way this morning is it's they're spoken words that picture a bright future backed up by an active commitment. Spoken words. Toby Mack had it right several years ago. He wrote a song, Say the Words. Don't live your life with the assumption people know. I don't have to tell them I love them. They know. No. Toby Mack is right in God's truth. Speak the words. Spoken words that picture a bright future. That's hope. That's not some sort of, I want to drum this up. This is a bright future based on God's faithfulness. The bright future has everything to do with the character of God. And then active commitment. God himself says, I will be faithful. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will actively be committed to working my purposes in your life. And that's a powerful dynamic for good in our lives. Spoken words that picture a bright future backed up by an active commitment changes things. And so I want to speak a blessing over you this morning. I want to speak words from God's word. And I want us to picture a bright future because of God's faithfulness. And then for all of us to, in a sense, recommit to active commitment that we're going to be a part of this family. No more sitting on the sidelines. No more periphery sort of mentality. I'm jumping in. Dusty Baker, coach of the Washington Nationals, has walked out of the dugout. He's looked up into the stands. He has looked at you and said, come on down. I got a place for you and I will help you. But somebody greater than Dusty Baker is here this morning, and it's the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is walking out of the dugout where the active players are. He's looking at you if you're in the stands. And he says, no more in the stands. Come on down. I've got a place for you, and I've got work for you, and I will enable you. When you're weak and when you don't think you can do it, I will do that. So that's where this blessing, that's where this message is coming from, and is found in Acts chapter 9. We spent about 10 seconds on this verse last week because it was just in the flow of thoughts. But this week, we're going to chew on it. We're going to meditate on it. We're going to think about it again because Acts 9, verse 31 is like a snapshot of what God has been up to in the early church up to this point. It's a snapshot, but it's also a bright future. It's not just a past description of current events of this day. It is for us as followers of Jesus here at Christ Community Church, a picture of our bright future. of what God, because of his faithfulness, will do. And the call to you and me this morning is our active commitment to be obedient to God. Jump in, get out of the stands, and do what he's called us to do. The first sense is this, Acts 9:31. Let's just read this. Would you read it with me? It's going to be on the screen. If you have it in your, I'm reading from the NIV translation. So let's read this together. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace, was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Here are the five parts that we'll walk through today, the five aspects of this blessing God has for us. That we enjoy a time of peace, that we will be strengthened by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We will live in the fear of the Lord. We will be encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and we will increase. It's a snapshot of what God does among his followers. That's our bright future as members of the body of Christ in this place. Then the church. The church. It's an important word. It's important to understand why the Spirit of God moved in the good doctor Luke to use this word in this place, and he's used it before. The church. It's an important reality, and it's actually two parts. The Greek word has two parts. It has a preface and then a main word. It's ekklesia. You might have heard of that. The Greek word is ekklesia. It literally means to call out together. To call out together. This is not a quote-unquote Christian word. This was a word that was commonly used in the culture, in the Greek culture of the day. And a town crier, so to speak, when a town or village needed to gather together, the town crier would call the people out of their homes and together for an important meeting of the town or the village. They were called out, one aspect, but the second aspect is essential. They were called together. The town crier didn't walk up to individual homes, call them out of their home and have a one-on-one conversation, and then move to the next home and have a one-on-one conversation. The town crier called them out of their homes, ekklesia, together. So God is calling us as the church out of our homes, our lives together, and he is calling us together. Micah spoke a while back. He asked a great question. Does anybody know how many churches there are in Loudoun County? If you were here, do what he did. Yeah. There's one church in Loudoun County. It's just one. That one church is gathered in multiple places all over the place. But there's one church. And God has called this one church to gather in this place, and we just happen to call our gathering, our group of friends, Christ Community Church. Another group of friends called Bridge Community Church meets at 5. Part of us. Another church down the road, St. Teresa's. Another church, Christian Fellowship, Heritage Baptist, Broadlands Bible, Broadlands Community Church, you name it. We're all one church. In this place, God has spoken to us today from 9:31, from Acts 9:31. We will enjoy a time of peace. Every aspect of these five aspects of the blessing has a God role, and it has an us role. We're going to leave today focusing on the God part, because that's what we have to, because we're up and down. We're broken. We're not all the time faithful. We can't focus on our lack of faithfulness. We have got to focus on God's faithfulness. So we will leave today singing about God's faithfulness. But in the midst of that, We need to be thinking about what his role is and our role, our active commitment in that. So we will enjoy a time of peace. That's really up to God. In this circumstance right now, the church was enjoying a time of peace circumstantially, externally. Saul, who had been an active persecutor of the church, had been arrested by Jesus. He had come to the Lord, and now he was with the church, speaking into their lives. Barnabas and Ananias were two very key people in chapter 8 of bringing Saul to the church. But now Saul was speaking truth into the... He had been converted. He had been radically changed. And so the church now was enjoying a time of peace circumstantially. Chapter 8, they weren't. That's when Saul was actively engaged in persecuting the church. The church was going to a season of persecution, but now they're in a season of peace. Who knows the season that we're walking into externally, circumstantially? We don't know what that looks like this coming year. What we do know, though, is that God is sovereign, he's powerful, he's just, he's loving, and he will work in whatever circumstances we encounter as a body together this coming year. He will and can work peace despite the circumstances. In spite of the circumstances, he will work peace. Beautiful word, shalom, completeness. He will work with whatever evil, brokenness, challenges of this coming year. He will work over time and bring those hard pieces together in a meaningful place in his purpose. And he will do that. That's essentially the idea of peace. Our role then is this, to let the peace of Christ rule in our lives. Colossians 3:15, Paul's letter to the followers of Christ in the city of Colossae. He says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. That's our role. God's going to work peace. He is the God of peace. Our role is to let the peace of Christ rule. The word is, actually, I could show you in my little Greek textual kind of book back there. If I were to open that up, you know the word they have in there? Umpire. I am not just working another way to get baseball in a message this morning. I could show you on a page in there. This word rule means referee. It means let the Spirit of God, let the peace of Christ serve as an umpire in your heart and life. It's an important image. Those of you that are the most spiritual and closest to the Lord and watch baseball on a regular basis, you know what I'm talking about. When the umpire gets below the catcher and he looks at the pitcher, and sometimes, you know, Channel 5, whoever it on, has pitch track on it, and it shows this box. Well, the pitches come in, and what does the umpire do? He rules. He determines whether that's a ball or a strike. He calls it. The umpires in Major League Baseball are not perfect. They blow it on a regular basis. The Spirit of God is perfect. He does not blow it. And what happens, what this refers to, as we're in relationship with each other, words come into our lives. And he will umpire, he will rule, he will say, that's a phrase, that's a word of peace. Or he'll say, no, that was outside, that was not a word of peace. And he serves as the umpire. The Spirit of God, let the peace of Christ umpire, call the balls and strikes. Let him call what's really true of peaceful relationship and what is not. In James reminds us that peace and wisdom are virtually kissing cousins, if you know what. Anybody hear that? That came to my mind, but you can't have peace without wisdom, and if you have wisdom, it works itself out in peace. And this is what he says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. The wisdom from above, the wisdom of God, works as peace in our life, serves as an umpire, so that when we live with wisdom and peace, he says we will be considerate. The idea of considerate in this word is gentle, reasonable, humble, and patient. So as we have relationship with one another, our relationships will be either gentle, reasonable, humble, and patient, or they won't. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Christ of peace, will serve as umpire, and he'll let us know. He'll let us know. That was a statement of peace. That was a thought of peace, of humility, of gentleness, of consideration, or it wasn't. He will let us know. And then he says, it is submissive. The idea of submissive is easily persuaded, willing to yield. In our homes, in our relationships, in our friendships, the Spirit of God will let us know you were willing to yield or you were prideful. You know you should have said this and you didn't, and you were full of pride, and the Spirit of God will let us know that. He will let us know when we should be easily persuaded and when we're digging our heels in it and we don't need to. The Spirit of Christ, the peace of Christ will rule in our hearts. The key for you and me is to listen and either hear that, well done, when the umpire says that was a strike, that was in there, well done. That was peaceful, that was wise, that was full of mercy, that has good fruit, that was impartial, you were sincere. Or he will let us know, no, that was a ball, that was out. And in that case, our role is to agree, confess, be of one mind. God, you're right. Give me the humility to ask forgiveness and say you're right. And I was wrong. Couple things here. I'm going to be focusing a little bit more on us as a church family together, but I would encourage you to do the multitasking of asking God, how does this apply to my family, my earthly family, if you're married, my spouse, my children, my friends, my colleagues. How does this apply to that level? I'm going to be focusing on us as we live together. God's role is we can count on him to produce peace despite the circumstances of this coming year, because we will and can, and I speak this over us, I believe we're going to live in relationships of peace. We're going to listen to the Spirit of God, and when he says, that was a ball, that was out of bounds, we're going to be responsive to him. And we're going to say, you're right, God. I confess that. Or we're going to say, God, thank you for the grace that I acted in peace. The second, we will be strengthened. We will be strengthened this year. In Acts 16:15, fascinating statement. Paul and Barnabas just had a major disagreement, two major leaders in the church. Major disagreement. They couldn't come to one mind. So Paul went one way and Barnabas went the other. And we're in that after fact. But Paul took Timothy. Silas, he went and found Timothy, and they found him, and they went and they spoke to churches. And verse 5 of chapter 16 of Acts, it says, and so the churches were strengthened in the faith. It grew daily in numbers, another phrase here that Luke repeats. They were strengthened, passive. It was something that God did to the church. God strengthened the church through the ministry of Paul and Timothy and Silas, but God strengthened. He will do that this year. He will strengthen us. He will give us greater strength just when we need it. We can count on him to do that. Our active commitment is simply this: read the word. Read the word. To put it another way, eat the bread. Eat the bread. Just up in verse 15, just when Barnabas took Mark and they went away, Paul and Silas left. It says, Paul and Silas went through Syria in verse 41 of chapter 15. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, active. This was the work that Paul was doing. He was strengthening the churches. What was he doing? He was speaking the word of God to them. He was giving them the bread of life. And they were eating that bread. They were taking it in, and they were being strengthened. Listen to this quote from Eugene Peterson. He's the one that did the Message translation. It's at the beginning of this book that we read a year ago, The Invitation. Listen to this. He said, this reading of the Word of God, it's a reading that enters our souls. Good. The way that food enters our stomachs, and it spreads through our blood and transforms us. Christians don't simply learn to study or use the scripture. We feed on it. We assimilate it. We take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, cups of cold water. You see the parallel? When we eat physically, food goes into our body, into our stomach, and goes into our blood systems, and we are physically changed. We gain strength from the bread and the food that we eat. We're getting ready to run the Army 10-miler, and we've talked about this before. We have these little packs that some of us use. Every so often, we take these packs of gel, we open it up, and we put it into our bodies at mile 5 or 10 or whatever it is, and there's a physiological change. There's greater energy. There's more strength because we have ingested that food. That is what Paul is speaking about, what happens to us when we ingest the Word of God, the bread of life. When we take that in, it changes us. And it gives us greater strength. That's why our role in this whole deal is to take the word in. Take the bread in. This morning was a pretty stark reminder of that in my life personally. I've shared with you how my emotions, I wrestle with them. Sometimes they're not real good. And those emotions sometimes get real big, and I begin to think that my emotions are defining reality. And they get big, and that affects me. And it's not a simple, willy-nilly, magical formula. It's a struggle, and it was some good part of Saturday, and Saturday night, and this morning a little bit. I woke up tired, and my emotions were not good. But I also told you that this past year, God really got my attention and said, Jeff, you've got to, one of the first things you do is get your attention on me. It's what Shelley was saying. What was the phrase again? I'm missing it right now. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I will spare you the voice. I really wrestle with preachers who can sing. I covet that gift. I do not have it, so you don't have to worry about that. But this morning, and so, Lord, this past year has really got my attention, and I'm thankful that he's given me this grace to, first thing, before papers, before email, before text, first thing. Sometimes I will just literally pick up the paper, walk it inside, look at it, still in its wrapper sometimes, put it on the table, and walk away. Walk into my desk, open my Bible, and either read the proverb of the day or read the scripture that God's called me to read that day. He's doing that. Well, it paid off this morning in a big way, and you're glad for it, let me tell you. I wake up, and I see on this is what I'm walking through for this year, and I look, and this is Sunday for this week, and it's 2 Timothy 3 and 4. When I see 2 Timothy 3 and 4, I actually thought, oh, goody. Goody. That's the word it came. I don't know what the Hebrew for that is, but it was goody. Because 2 Timothy 4 was the passage that Cindy's grandfather, Pastor Jackson, Ruth's father, spoke to me the night in 1989 when a group of people gathered around me and said, you know, we think God's up to something in you, and this is what we think he's doing. We think he's calling you into this sort of line of vocation. My ordination. So I open to 2 Timothy 3 and 4, and I read again 2 Timothy 4, where Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, when you feel like it and when you don't. When your emotions are good and when they're not. Preach the word. Things changed in me in those moments. Some of the discouragement, whatever, my emotions changed. There was a strength, something was going on in me because I ingested the word of God. And he has this amazing deal with his sovereignty where he just takes the word of God and our circumstances, test him. If you don't believe me, test him. And he will do that. He will bring the living, active word of God at just the right point of contact with our circumstances on any given day and any given moment and bring strength, renewed hope, renewed ability, different desires to obey him when the matter of fact was I didn't want to. I didn't want to obey. I wanted the freedom just to not obey. Won't go any further than that. Just didn't want to obey. And the word of God, the spirit of God, the powerful name of Jesus that we spoke about said, no, Jeff, preach the word this morning. And it will bring strength. So God's role is he will strengthen us. I have no question about that. But our role is to eat the bread. And again, I encourage you, first thing, before most anything else in your schedule, turn your heart and your mind to the word of God in the morning to help it set your mind in the course of the Spirit. What else will we can count on God to help us walk in the fear of the Lord? It said the church walked in the fear of the Lord. What's God's role in walking in the fear of the Lord? God's role is to continue to give us reason to be fearful in a good, attractive way. Remember, this is the fear of the Lord is a fear that attracts us to God. It's not the fear of snakes that we want to run, except Anna loves snakes, and if she were in here, she would let you know that. She's attracted to snakes. Most of us are not. I don't know. I can't say that. But either way, the fear of the Lord is a fear that attracts us to him. It's being deliciously scared that we want to go to him. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the one we want to run to. His role in walking in the fear of the Lord is to keep giving us reason to be in awe of him. His role is to keep reminding us, you really should be wowed by me. So God, yeah, he gives us a sunrise every morning and a sunset. And on clear days, we can see those. He's continuing to give us babies. He's continuing to draw us to the cross. God is being faithful and always reminding us there are plenty of reasons for us to be wowed by him. By his grace, his mercy, his compassion. I'm pointing to Debbie. We got Lulu right here. We have examples of babies. The question is, have I stopped being wowed by babies? Have they become commonplace? Has a sunrise become commonplace? Do we look at a sunrise and go, ho-hum? Do we yawn? God has still given us reason to be awed by him. The question is, are we jaded? Have we let wows become ho-hums in our life? And is today another reminder from God saying, don't let that happen. Walk in fear and amazement of me every day. Be amazed at those sunrises. Take another look at those colors. Take another look at that baby. Think about the systems in that baby that are working together in an amazing way, created by me, that we would be wowed, that we will walk in the fear of our Lord. Our role then is to command our mind and our will and our emotions to wonder. We can do that. We can wake up in the morning, look at a sunrise, and go, oh, yeah. And then we go, no, wait, stop. I will not do that this morning. God, help me, my mind, my will, and my emotions, to be wowed by you again. To walk in amazement, to be amazed at his holiness. When we come to the cross, that we are wowed by his holiness and it produces repentance and change in us. God will bring us peace. He will strengthen us. We will walk in the fear of the Lord this year, and we will be encouraged by the Spirit of God. God's role is simply to provide the Spirit, which he has done in abundance. There's an amazing statement in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 16. This is what the Spirit of God does in us. This is how he encourages us. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, that we are God's children. The Spirit himself, the Spirit of God, testifies with our spirit. That's another phrase that if that's become too familiar to you and me, we need to confess that familiarity and say, God, would you produce a wow in me again about what this statement means? That the Spirit of God, in the most intimate of ways, bears witness with our spirit that we are his. There's a wonderful intimacy there. That's what happened this morning at my desk reading 2 Timothy 4. The Spirit of God was speaking very intimately to me. Jeff, I'm bearing witness with your spirit. Speak the word. He does that in our lives. He bears witness with our spirit of the truth of who he is, the truth of who we are, that we are his children. He bears witness, and that encourages us. It strengthens us. Our role is simply this, to be quiet and to hear. To listen. Faith Day, a couple Saturdays ago, one of the TV commentators, Bob Carpenter, was kind of emceeing the Faith Day. Bob knows the Lord. One of his favorite verses is Psalm 46:10, and he quoted it, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. And he talked about the challenge that God has for him most every day, to be still. In the midst of the hurry and the hustle and the bustle of life, he says, be still. Our role is to be still and listen to the Spirit. Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, take a look at those at some point. It speaks about the role of the Spirit in us and the role of the Word of God in us. The challenge for you and me is to quiet our schedules, to quiet our hearts so that we can hear the Spirit listen to us. We can listen to the Spirit as he speaks to us. We will hear him, what we say. There's an image of this that's important to me. It helped me understand this. Cherrydale Baptist Church, the one that we came from, had a weight room. And the youth pastor at one point when I was doing college and singles, he was a professional bodybuilder, Dave Hollis. And he was still competing, so we had a weight room. And he left. We still had the weight room. So I went down and I started to get into free weights. We had universals in my high school days, so we started to do that. But what I watched was a kid named Brad Miller from Yorktown High School. Jeff knows Brad from his Young Life days. And Brad was a big kid, strong kid, and the challenge that Brad had one day was could he bench over 400 pounds? He had been doing 300s variations of that. But that 400 mark was a pretty significant mark for him. And it was amazing what happened. Brad got in there. He had been working out. He had been doing the work. But there were friends of his around him. And he took that 400 pounds off the rack, took it down, and he started to bring it up. And you know what? The rest of us were around him. Were we quiet? No. No, we were yelling at him. Brad, come on, you can do that. And we were encouraging him forcefully with our words that his strength could be increased. And that was an image of me. That's what the Spirit of God does. When we're weak and we don't think we can bench the 400, he comes and he speaks to us. He says, I will give you strength. I will help you. It's my strength and your weakness. That's what we hear when we listen to the Spirit of God. That's our role in being encouraged by the Spirit, is to listen to Him. Listen to Him, bear witness with our spirit. Then lastly, we will multiply in Acts 2:47. You saw it in Acts 9:31, the church increased in numbers. In Acts 2:47, Luke describes what happens to the early followers of Jesus. They devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. Everybody was filled with awe at wonders and signs. The believers were together. They had things in common. They sold property so that everybody had what they needed. Every day they continued in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And then it says this, and that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number. Much of the increase of what happens within churches and local churches, it's the Lord. He brings the increase. And we can expect Him to do that. He is a God of life that multiplies, and we can look forward to that. He will give us life in a number of ways. Our role is simply this. In Matthew 22, the greatest command is this. Say it with me. First is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is just like it, is what? Love your neighbor just as you love yourself. That's our role. God's role is to bring increase. Our role is to love our neighbors as we would want to be loved. Love our neighbors. Simply, I encourage this. Be kind. Just be good neighbors. Look for ways to help, serve, love. Just be kind, good neighbors. Pray. Do you actively, regularly pray for your neighbors at work, your colleagues? If you don't, I would venture to say the Lord is speaking to you this morning. That's a good pattern to establish. That you regularly, by name, pray for your neighbors. Just pray that you would love them. Be kind. See what God does with that. What happens in their heart is up to God. Ours is just to cultivate. Sow the seed, pray, love. God will bring the increase. Let's join Him in that. We're going to close by praying a few moments before the team comes up and leads us in the last song. Let's pray. Join me, trusting God for His work in our midst this year, this bright future. And let's renew, in a sense, in our hearts, saying, okay, God, here's a fresh commitment. I'm in. No more in the stands. Come down out of the stands. I'm on the field. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning through your word, through your spirit, through friends, through Shelley, through songs, through Wren Collective. Father, you've spoken to us through multiple ways this morning. Thank you for speaking, for not being silent. Father, we do receive, we embrace the bright future you have for us because of your faithfulness. And Father, we also come to you and say to you that we do recommit in a fresh way to join you in your work. Father, we look forward to this year with hope, with expectation, because of your faithfulness. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus, amen.